Welcome to this God-inspired message from Shofar Christian Church. Enjoy today's message. May you experience the presence of our Father, and may you grow deeper in your relationship with Him.
Guys, it's already February. Can you believe it? Phew. The year started with a pace, but it's a great blessing. And what a privilege to be together here this morning. Just briefly, is there anybody that's joined us since I welcomed you in the beginning and that's joined us during the worship that's visiting for the first time? Anybody like that? Okay, great stuff. So welcome, and it's a blessing to be here. It's a blessing for me to share the word, and I want to jump right in with a well-known account in 2 Kings chapter 4. It's from verse 1. One day the widow of a member of the group of prophets came to Elisha and cried out, "My husband who served you is dead, and you know how he feared the Lord. But now a creditor has come, threatening to take my two sons as slaves. What can I do to help you?" Elisha asked. "Tell me, what do you have in the house?" "Nothing at all, except a flask of olive oil," she replied. And Elisha said, "Borrow as many empty jars as you can find from your friends and neighbors, and go into your house with your sons and shut the door behind you. Pour olive oil from your flask into the jars, setting each one aside when it is filled." So she did as she was told. The sons kept bringing jars to her, and she filled one after another. Soon every container was full to the brim. "Bring me another jar," she said to her sons. "There aren't any more," he told her, and then the olive oil stopped flowing. When she told the man of God what had happened, he said to her, "Now sell the olive oil and pay your debts, and you and your sons can live on what is left over." Well-known account. It's a blessing. Blesses me every time I read it. There's a few things that I felt for us to focus on in the relatively still at the beginning of the year. I just want to run through it and point out a few key things here for us. Now this lady is in a really difficult situation. Firstly, that we think of our problems and our challenges that we face, and I think most will find that this is a bad situation. And most of our problems probably look a bit small compared to this lady who's about to lose her sons, who would be taken into slavery because of the debt that they have. And now Elisha, she's obviously desperate. She's in a desperate situation, and she's lost hope, and she doesn't know where to go, what to do, what to say. And she comes to Elisha, and Elisha, you can see, is also a little bit, okay, how can I help you type of thing. And then he asked a very important question. I believe this is often what God wants to ask us when we are in a situation like this. First thing he asks her is, what do you have in your house? What have you got already have? What has God already given you? Is there something that you already have? And our first response is often exactly like this widow. Whatever the situation, it could not even in terms of substance or finance necessarily or provision. It could even be a spiritual thing in terms of there being a need and us having to fulfill the need. The first thing we think when somebody asks us, "But whatever you have," is we think, "But no, I don't really have. I barely have enough for my own family," or in terms of time. Sure, I'm so stretched. I'm already stretched to the limit. If somebody asks me, "What do you have?" our first reaction is often, "Actually, no, I don't have anything." "Oh no, but except for this, that 5 minutes that I have there, or except for this little bit of oil." So that for us is the first thing, is that we to recognize that. Often it feels like the desperate situation we're there, or the challenging situation, or the pressing situation. Maybe it's a challenge with your small group, or there's a is a situation, or somebody's asked you some advice, or maybe it is it's a challenge of provision, to actually ask that question, but what has God already put in my hands? What do I have already got in my house? What are the blessings that we as a family already have received that we can work with? Okay, now, and Elisha gives a very specific instructions here. And I think in hindsight, the lady might have, I don't know, maybe she would have done it differently. I don't know, maybe in hindsight, if she'd known what would happen, I don't know if they had a local pool there. I don't know if she could have get hold of a porta pool, you know, one of those. Maybe she would have got hold of one of those JoJo tanks. I don't know if they had those. But incredible thing happens, and the interesting thing is that Elisha tells her to gather the jars, but the miracle here that happens is very much dependent upon how many jars. Do you see this? And there's another account in Scripture of a prophet that says to the king, take these arrows and strike the ground, and that would determine kind of the victory that we'd have over your enemies. And he's kind of a bit skeptical, and he kind of just does it half-heartedly three times. And the prophet gets really upset with him because he is not responding in faith. And so with this situation, the miracle of the multiplication of the oil and the amount of times it's multiplied and the size of the miracle is kind of dependent upon the expectation of the widow and her sons. And I suppose the capacity of jars in the community maybe as well. And this is a key that I feel God wants to have us stop at for a moment this morning, is what are those empty jars in our lives? What are the empty jars? Because when the empty jars were finished, the oil stopped flowing. When there were no empty jars yet, there was no miracle. And what are the empty jars that in our lives that God would have us bring? I believe that those empty jars that God is talking about here is, I heard a message around this that somebody mentioned this key and this week, and it really blessed me. And what he said is those empty jars in our lives is our faith expectation of God. What do I expect of the God that I serve? What do I expect? What is my expectation of God in my situation, in my city, in our nation? What is our expectation of God? And the guy with the arrows, he probably didn't really have a clue what was going on. He was like, "What? Why must I do this funny action now?" The widow's like, "Wow, why? You know, why should I be gathering these jars?" But how do we respond to what God tells us to do, and what is our expectation of the King, the Lord that we serve? And to be honest, that challenged me. Maybe at the beginning of the year, you know, we've hit the ground running. It's been a bit hectic. Things are happening at quite a speed. I know for me, it's been like that a bit. But I've been challenged to stand still and to say, but what is my expectation? What is our expectation of God in this year? And I found that when we get into kind of a routine around our relationship with God, and we get into good habits, we get into not so good habits, but we get into kind of a routine, and this is how things go, and we go to church, and we go to small group here and there. And yes, I pray for my work, and I do pray for my small group, but I've been challenged to say, but where are our empty jars? To what extent are we trusting God? To what extent are we putting out our faith and our expectation for God to do miraculous things? way beyond what we are able to, way beyond what we are able to imagine. To what extent are we willing to say, Lord, I want to trust you for the impossible? And let's have a look quickly at a quote from Andrew Murray. He says that faith expects from God what is beyond all expectation. And what is that expectation? How are we putting out our faith to say, Lord, I trust, I expect great things. And this we can apply to many different situations. Now, so a few things that I feel God laying on my heart. Are we happy just to cruise in a kind of a survival mode? Are we happy to maintain, just to kind of to maintain the status quo and to just kind of do what is necessary to stay at kind of at a place where we are? Or are we expecting God for growth personally? Are we expecting God for miracles? Are we expecting God for great victories? Or are we just okay just to cruise and to to stay in survival mode? Now, guys, I'm challenging myself with this. There was a time when we were living in the UK. We've been back now for just about a year. And to be honest, there was a season in the UK, part of that time, which was incredibly difficult and incredibly challenging for us on various levels. And looking back now, the Lord is really... I'm wrestling with God through some of that stuff, which is, I think, a good thing to do in terms of hearing what God has to say. And one of the things that God has laid on my heart is that is what happens when we go through tough seasons. We tend to want to pull back. We tend to want to just survive. You know, we kind of button down the hatches. We close down. We build up walls. We cover ourselves. We don't want to get hurt. We don't want to get disappointed. We don't want to have our expectations disappointed, and we end up not having any expectation at all. We end up just kind of just making it, and we end up just maintaining. Yes, we pray, and yes, we put out our faith for something here and there, but it's as if there's a big lid pressed down on what God is able to do because we've just kind of pulled back. Are you with me this morning? Is it just me? Okay, no, it's probably just me. You guys look like giants of faith out there. That's amazing. But let's have a look at it's the concept of faith. Now, faith, if we say it's said in Hebrews 11, it works like this. It's the substance of things we hope for. Scripture's not on there, and it's the evidence of things that are still unseen. Now, that in itself sounds a bit weird and sounds like it doesn't make any sense. The substance of things, something we hope for, and the evidence of something that is not yet visible. That is how faith works. It is when we put our hope in God and we find a place where we hope in God and we know we can trust Him to such an extent that even the stuff that I know has not yet come to pass, I've got such a conviction about the goodness of God and His ability to do the above and beyond everything I can even imagine, that there's a substance there. I say, Lord, I trust that you're going to go way beyond what is visible now. And the next scripture I'm going to read refers to Abraham, who believed God, and it was accounted to him as righteousness. And it says about that in Romans 4, verse 17. It says, Abraham believed God, this is what comes before this, and who gives life to the dead and calls those things which do not exist as though they did. In the NLT, the same scripture, if you can go to the next one, same one says, God who brings the dead back to life and who creates new things out of nothing. That is the God in whom we have our expectation. A Amen. And Abram, in this situation, was sitting with quite a challenge. He was around 100. No, he was, wasn't he like 120 already? In any case, probably about 100. And he had the promise from the Lord that him and his wife Sarah would have a baby, would have a son. And all the massive promises of God over his life was dependent upon this child. And he was already 100, okay? Now, guys, do you see the problem here? His wife was 99, okay, so that doesn't help a lot. So, how often do we face that challenge where in the natural, as with this widow, there's nothing there. There's no chance, there's nothing there. But then God, Abraham, believed God because he's able to bring life and he's able to, he calls the things, creates new things out of nothing. In the older one, translation says, he calls the things which do not exist as if they did. So that is, I believe, a big part of how we put out our expectation. When we say, Lord, I believe this is your will. I believe it's your will for us to grow in our small group. I believe it's your will for us to get through this difficult time financially. I would leave it to your will for our company to prosper, but I can't see it now. But I choose to pray it. I choose to proclaim it. I choose to trust God that what is not yet visible will come to pass. Amen? And many of you know the story when Aaron and I were also struggling through the medical report saying that we are not able to have children naturally. And we're faced with this massive thing of, okay, this is not going to happen as you thought it would. In fact, that after many tests, the guy said, listen, this is not going to happen naturally, and we need to consider these different options and all kinds of things. And again, we're faced with this challenge of we know God has given us promises. We know God has given us desire. But in the natural, there's no evidence yet. And then we had to speak into something. We speak something. And I believe this is where that expectation comes from, is that God gives us the same ability here to call the things which do not exist as though they did. Are you with me this morning? And I believe that as children of God, that God gives us the same grace to proclaim the things that are not yet there as though they did, to speak those into being when there's no evidence of it at all. Okay, let's go on. Now, one of the things we also see here that Elisha instructs the widow to do is to close the door. He said, gather the jars or the vessels, and then close the door. And also something interesting is he wasn't there. Elisha, as far as I can read it, he wasn't present, right? He gave some instructions, and she followed the instructions, closed the door. It was her and her sons, and she was pouring the oil. And that for me is also significant. It's a place of, yes, we get blessed by different people in our lives, but when it comes down to it, each of us here is able to receive the miracle that God has prepared for us. Amen? And he instructs her to close the door, and it's so important for us to protect the expectation and to protect that faith that we have for a situation. Because there will be people that would want to steal that, those empty jars from us, right? So, how many times, when we're faced with a big challenge or we're faced with a faith-stretching situation and we tell somebody, listen, I'm really putting my faith out. I know the medical reports have said that we can't have children, but we're not going to go for the IVF thing. We don't feel that's right. We feel God has made another way for us. And there are people that will say, listen, you need to face the facts here. You need to get real, and you need to come down to earth. Have you heard that? And so it's so important for us to say, okay, thanks for that. I'm going to close the door here now. Because I don't want you to mess with my jars, you know, my vessels. I want as many of them here as possible. I don't want, and obviously the enemy, the devil, he will also. He will come with discouragement. He will come with disillusionment. He will come with various ways to steal that capacity and that expectation of faith that we have in God. He would want to reduce that as much as he can. To a place where we, again, we're just sitting with our little bit of oil in the jar and we can't see how things are going to go forward. So shut, close the door on those elements that want to take away that expectation. You know, 2 weeks ago, we spoke about each of us being a minister. And if you missed last week's message from Philip, it was really a great encouragement, a great blessing. That it's even the woman at the well who was completely, in our eyes, unqualified to be a minister. She just goes and tells people, come and see. And she turns into a massive minister just because of her saying, come and see what God, come and see this man. So I want to just add on to that in terms of, you know, yes, we feel unqualified to be ministers. We feel like we have nothing in our house, like this widow, when it comes to us being ministers or reaching out to others. We feel like this, well, what do I have to give? I don't have the answers. And yet, this lady becomes this incredible minister. And one of the other things that God is just helping me to wrestle through is that he showed me that in my time in the UK, in terms of my personal reaching out to others, I took a knock there in terms of my expectation of what God is able to do. And, you know, one can say a lot of things about why and the culture and the people are different and blah, blah, blah. But that doesn't change God, right? And when I look back, I see that there was something that changed in my heart in terms of having, you know, inviting people to church, engaging people about God, encouraging people, reaching out, sharing my testimony. And it was definitely a bit of a pulling back from my side. And I see now that a big challenge, a big part of that was because of my expectation. I stopped expecting God to do miracles in people's lives when I step out to engage them. Are you with me? I stopped, and I see that my expectation changed from a place where living in London a couple of years ago, also same environment, I remember praying for people on the street who got healed on the street, you know, talking to strangers about Jesus, people getting born again on the bus, you know, stuff like that, on the airplane. And the Lord really challenged me. He said, "Why has your expectation changed?" And I want to just throw that out there this morning, guys. If your expectation to be a minister of the gospel, and to, as we're going to get around to these explore groups a bit later in the year, in May, I want to say to you that whether you've been a follower of Jesus for a week, or whether it's been a decade, or 20, 30 years, let's not limit God because of our expectation, because of our lack of expectation. When we start praying for people, when we start thinking, what people do I have around me that I can invite to a group or host to a group, in a group, I want us to trust God and put our and gather as many jars as we can find. And if somebody's been stealing your jars and your expectation is low and you've been struggling to trust God, I believe there's a grace this morning to say, Lord, I'm sorry. I repent because I've put a lid on what I believe is possible for you. Are you with me this morning? No. Yes? No? Maybe? I'm going to read from Luke chapter 6, from 44. A tree is identified by its fruit. Figs are never gathered from thorn bushes, and grapes are not picked from bramble bushes. A good person produces good things from the treasury of a good heart, and an evil person produces evil things from the treasury of an evil heart. What you say flows from what is in your heart. What do we have in our heart? Because often our expectation comes out in what we say. Isn't that true? It comes out in how we pray. It comes out in our confession about our situation, about our challenge, about the thing that we are trusting God for. So if I'm at a place where I'm really struggling and I struggle to trust God, I'm going to be talking about other things. I'm going to be rather talking about the cricket, or the cricket is a good thing apparently these days to talk about. I don't know how the last one went, but anyway, we don't talk about rugby at the moment. But when my heart is full of what God is doing and what He's about to do, it's going to come out. I'm going to be talking about that. When somebody asks me to pray about something, I'm going to be saying, listen, my neighbor is going to get born again this year. I have such an expectation in my heart that the people that God has put around me, that they're going to be impacted by the power and the love of God this year. And the person will say, but what's happening? Did they say anything? I say, no, they haven't said anything. They don't want to come to church. But that doesn't change my expectation. Amen? So I want us to really be aware. What is the stuff that comes out when we pray? What are we praying about? What are the things that we are confessing over our situation, over my neighbors or my colleagues or my work situation or my marriage? What are the things that I'm speaking over it? And in other words, what is in my heart about this? And if there's a disconnect there, and if there's something that must shift in my heart, then it must start there, because that's what God has been challenging me about that season in the UK, that one time, that one part, is that I had to make a shift in my heart. Say, Lord, I repent. I've not been expecting, I've changed something, and I need to repent and turn back, and I need to step out in faith once more. Amen. Okay, we're going to have communion at the end. If the guys can start bringing the communion stuff along. I'll just close from Mark chapter 11, verse 22 to 24. So Jesus answered and said to them, have faith in God, for assuredly I say to you, whoever says to this mountain, be removed and cast into the sea, and does not doubt in his heart, but believes that those things he says will be done, he will have whatever he thinks. No. He will have whatever he says. Okay? Therefore, I say to you, whatever things you ask when you pray, believe that you receive them, and you will have them. Can you see that he's got his tenses all wrong here? Everything is mixed up here. You see, this guy is obviously not, I don't know, maybe the translator got it wrong. It feels upside down. He says, he's talking about future. Believe that you receive them and then you will have them in the future. How does that work? Because that's exactly how faith operates. We pray, we put our expectation, we bring our jars, we say, Lord, I expect you to do great things. And I believe that I've already received it. And then whatever I've prayed about, it comes later, but I've already, I believe I've received it. Amen? Are you? And I want to really encourage us. There's lots of stuff we can trust God for. There's lots of things we can put our faith out for. But I believe this year that as a family, church family, God wants us to have a great expectation of Him working through each one of us. Him ministering to others through each one. Each one of us being His hands and feet. No matter where you are, no matter how you feel about yourself, the one thing that we do have when we are in Christ is we have Christ in us, the hope of glory. Amen? And no matter how inequipped you feel, or how young in Christ you feel, or maybe you've You've tried it like I've tried it so many times in the UK, and then you get disillusioned and discouraged. Maybe that's where you are. I want to say to you, let's give God a clean slate this year. Let's get all that stuff out of the way. Get all the stuff, stealing the jars out, shut the door, and say, Lord, I'm trusting you for the impossible. Because there's a subtle thing. There's a subtle thing that happens in our hearts when we get disappointed and when we struggle, when we've gone through a time of disillusionment. And what happens is we become cynical. And cynicism is really a subtle thing that you don't often recognize in your own heart, but it really opposes faith, completely opposes faith. Because cynicism goes to the heart of my vulnerability towards God and my ability to trust Him. Because when I get disappointed and cynical and disillusioned, I don't want to go there. Are you with me? And it comes out again. It comes out in how we speak. It comes out in, and we don't even recognize it often. But I just felt God laying it on my heart just now. Is that if you feel you're in that place, that you've become cynical about the things of God, that maybe when you were younger or you were a student, you saw people yield when you prayed for them. You actually saw amazing things happen in your small group. But right now, you feel like you're in a different space. Maybe it's a different season. The children now are running around, taking a lot of time and energy and effort. But I feel God wants to say to us to bring our hearts before Him. And whether there's cynicism that we need to get out there, be delivered of, or whether there's just a place of a bit of discouragement, or maybe it's just a place of apathy and a bit of a stagnation, I believe God wants to give us grace this morning. As we have communion, we're going to celebrate the cross of Christ. We're going to stand still and do this as Christ commanded us in remembrance of Him. Remembering that the cross is sufficient. And the resurrection power of Jesus Christ is sufficient for us. Are you with me this morning? Let's stand. Let's stand. Has everybody received communion? Not yet. We need a bit more in the front here. Please. The band can come up so long. So as we're just finishing handing out the communion, I just want us to take a moment to just be quiet before God. If you don't have communion yet, you need to keep open your eyes for a moment. But if you have it, you can close your eyes. And just to say, Lord, where is my heart at? Have I allowed the enemy to take my jars, or take my vessels? And my expectation is nowhere. And in fact, I'm just hanging in there. Have I been discouraged or disillusioned in terms of just because maybe there's been a lack of fruit, or there's been it feels like there's been a lack of response when I've shared my faith in the past, or when I've stepped out in faith about finances or work, and it's my heart has become a little bit hardened. Maybe it's just the life change of life phase have just caught me unawares. I'm married now, or my children are there, and stuff is happening, and I've found myself with no jars, with putting nothing, having no expectation of God to do amazing things. So wherever you are at, if you haven't got communion, won't you raise your hand for a moment? Otherwise, there we go. The guys will get some more, but just close our eyes for a moment. Father, God, we thank you, Lord, that you know each heart here. You know each person. Thank you, Lord, that you know the stuff that we wrestle through, Lord, the disillusionments, challenges. You know that maybe, yes, we've had lots of jars in the past, and as the jars were there, the oil was flowing, Lord, and your miracles were coming, and people were being changed, and people we were healed, and we saw people healed, we saw miracles, and we saw salvations, and it was amazing to see the oil flow, but somehow, somewhere, the jars ran out. And now there's nothing, it's just stagnation, or we're just kind of surviving. We thank you this morning, Lord. We thank you for a grace for us to bring our hearts before you, Lord. Say, Lord, open our eyes again to see you for who you are. Open our eyes again to see the God that spoke the universe into being, to see the God that speaks life, to cause that what doesn't exist yet, it is as if it does, Lord, that you that bring the dead to life again, Lord. You that have created the universe around us, you sustain the universe for the word of your power, Lord, and everything around us is from you. The gift of life that we have received is from you. Thank you, Lord, just now for a grace again to see you, Lord, as the awesome God above everything else, the Lord of Lords, the King of Kings. And I thank you, Lord, for a grace this morning for us to bring our hearts before you. Say, Lord, deliver us from disillusionment and fear and pain and cynicism. Deliver us, Lord, from anything that would put a lid on our expectation of who you are, Lord.
Thanks for listening to this message from Shofar Christian Church. We believe that you enjoyed your time with us, establishing God's kingdom and His glory in your life. For more info, call us on 012-362-1363, email us pretoria@shofaronline.org, browse our website www.shofaronline.org, or like us on facebook.com/shofarpretoria.